I better take the mic. I don't have to have it, but if we record any part of this, maybe it will help a little bit. I used to wonder about a scripture till I really studied it a little more deeply. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. When I see manners, I think of it in terms of, you know, how to eat, which fork to use, where do you put the napkin, do you say pass the biscuits what is appropriate? Who was Miss Manners? Someone who had the appropriate protocol for all things to be mannerly and everything. Somebody they called when I was growing up Miss Manners, and you're supposed to learn manners, but it's not about that. And then it says evil communications. You're talking, you're interacting, and that's part of it. But what it would read in the actual Greek was evil companionships, people that you run with, that you affiliate with, corrupt good morals. Changes everything. I was at the Capitol Hilton Hotel years ago as a representative of the state of Florida. Oh, yeah, that's back when we had our big church in Sulphur Springs on 920 East Sitka Street, Alaskan names. A computer picked a pastor from every state in America to go and to Washington, D.C. It was getting near election time, and they wanted pastors to hear from Christian congressmen and Christian people in politics. We got to hear from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and he asked us to pray for America, to pray for this nation. I believe that we should be in prayer now more than ever. But I ate at the Capitol Hilton Hotel. Now, they would have never picked me except it was a computer did it. They didn't know that we were in Suffering Springs and had a small church, and I was a small preacher of stature, only of stature. Amen. I'm kind of like Evie Turnquist, used to be a gospel singer back in the day. She was about 4'11". That's not very tall. I like her. Amen. I like short people. I love Jimmy, but he's taller than me. Amen. So I hang out with short people all I can. If you want to look slender, hang out with a bunch of really obese people. And you'll probably stand out as slimmer than them. Amen. So at the Capitol Hilton Hotel, they bring you all this silverware. And I'm kind of looking around, you know, to see what is the manners for this kind of. And they bring you several courses of the meal. They don't bring you everything. And it's not like the Golden Corral. anyway, amen. It's different. It's more formal. And I watch where people, you know, put their napkin, and they had these, you know, there's a soup and a salad thing and a soup thing, and it gets confusing. But I watched other people to see what they were doing. That was manners to me. But when you become a Christian, who you affiliate with from that point forward, the people that create peer pressure on you, there's a negative peer pressure and there's a positive peer pressure. Positive peer pressure is why we are assembling here today as we're receiving the Word of God. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, but much more, but exhorting one another. That's the purpose of our interacting together as Christians. Strongly encouraging one another to keep the faith. Strongly encouraging one another to keep the faith. It's up online today. I talk about it often and frequently because we need that encouragement. We were designed to be interdependent on one another. Ultra dependent on God, but interdependent upon one another. I've never seen the redwood trees is it California? Well, California, they're huge. They have been for hundreds of years standing every storm, every thing that event that can occur in that they're standing. Some of the tallest trees in the world and some of the biggest in circumference around it. I was told, I can't verify this, but it's a good illustration if it's true, that their roots, you would think their roots go very deep to sustain them through all that the storms that have come. But they tell me that what sustains them is not the depth of their roots, but the fact that they're planted close enough together that their roots actually interlock. Each tree is interdependent on the tree that is nearest to it, to the right, left, front, and back. And it's this network of roots that's keeping those huge, majestic redwoods standing all of the storms of life. The hand in the body of Christ, figuratively speaking, spiritually speaking as well, never says to the foot, "You know, I have no need of you, Brother Taylor. I got it. I got it together. I'm the preacher up front. I really don't need Sister Pat to pray for me. Stand with me. Amen me. I got it together. Me and God got it. We're tight. I don't need you." Yes, I do need you. And you need me. And we need each other. Scripture's clear. That's the reason. It's not to meet a budget. It's not to look good because of a full building. It's for the purpose of edifying one another. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, but much more as you see the day approaching. Scripture's clear. We're not children of the night that day come upon us as a thief. We are children of the day. We're supposed to be in the enlightened ones. I'm amazed at how many Christians don't see the value of assembling together. There are television ministries. I said this in our recent message online that I could recommend to you. I don't agree with everything that some people are on there, but there's so much we do agree on that I can receive. I have like a Holy Ghost filter. Oh, prove all things by what? The Word of God. And hold fast that is good. That means if it's not really in line with the Word of God, just let it go. There are some things I just let go and say, well, I can't agree with that, but boy, I agree with this. So I'm not in total disagreement that I can't. You understand what I'm saying? I won't let the devil build a wall that I couldn't stand with that person for the souls that they're trying to reach because of that particular issue that's not a salvation issue. Now that's me. I'd like to cooperate to get this harvest in. Amen. Rather than isolate myself over something that's not critical to salvation. CBN established, they believed, that we're going to go through the tribulation. Pat Robertson, I do not. He had scripture for his belief. I got scripture for mine. Amen. When the rapture takes place, I'm going to say, I told you, I told you. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we could still relate together. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil associations corrupt good morals. That's what it's all about. When you're around people that you want to be accepted by, peer pressure comes into play. You're going to be pushed in that direction to have a relationship with them. If you get with the right people, you're going to be pushed in the right direction to have a relationship with God. Not just with them, but with the Lord Himself. And without that, we get absorbed into the world, a worldview, and the culture of the world. Had a man that talked in tongues a lot, prophesied all the time, not publicly in the service so much, but just personally what God showed me and God told me, and God told me this and that and the other. And he frequently went to a bar with a friend of his after working with the lawn service all day, and went to the bar, and they had a brew together. At the bar, in the bar. They were not there to witness for Jesus. And if you're sitting there drinking with everybody else, you can't be one of those silent witnesses, you know, because you're blended with everybody else. And if you drink too much, your faculties are going to be put in a state of compromise. Who you associate with, who you spend time with, who you affiliate with. Every Christian needs to hear the message from the Word of God on sanctification. Justification by faith that's what grace accomplishes for us. It's a forensic term. You have been forgiven by God. Now he says, I want to do more than just justify you. I want you to be sanctified. Sanctification and holiness, they're almost the same. Sanctification means cleansed. Justification allows for that. The blood of Christ cleansed and set apart for a holy purpose. Cleansed and set apart for a holy purpose. We need each other in the body of Christ to encourage each other to keep the faith, to grow in the Lord, and to not compromise because of the peer pressure that we're going to be under on our job. How many have ever worked a secular job? How many know that when you get out in that world? I lived in clergy world a long time, but 12 years of my 50 years of ministry, I was bivocational. That meant I preached and then I took off to a job and worked on that job. And there's pressure on that job. When I worked for Tampa Electric, there was pressure on that job. I wanted to be accepted. I'm a new guy on a crew, and I want everybody to love me. I want to represent the Lord, and we all have a desire to be, well, to be loved, and to be loved is the fundamental basic psychological need within all of us. I want to be liked. I'll take liked. They don't have to love me if they just like me. But and everything's going fine, and I'm doing fine, no compromise, until after work one day, they liked me all right. They wanted me to go where they go, to what they call the watering hole up in Plant City. I was started in Tampa and graduated to another place with Tampa Electric. They wanted me to go and have a drink with them. I said, I'm sorry, guys, I don't drink. Thank you for the invitation. They said, you don't have to drink alcohol. You can drink a Pepsi. We just want you to come with us. Come on, the peer pressure. Be one of us. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil relationships corrupt good morals. Now, I can say in order to be a witness to them, I'm going to go and be with them and become one of them. I become all things to all men. You don't become sinners. A sinner to win sinners. You don't become that. I've heard that. And this person who talked about all these hotlines to heaven was clearly, in my opinion, he was running with the wrong crowd. He needed to not, if you go in a bar to give out tracts and be a witness, do it quickly before they throw you out. Can you say amen? Because they're not really open to that in the bar. And maybe God, if God sends you, you know how he sent them? He never sent them one by one. He sent them two by two. Amen. And when there was a disagreement among the apostles, what happened? They disagreed sharply, and they couldn't go two by two. And it left a need. And the great apostle saw that need, said, send me John Mark. The guy that we lost fellowship with for a season, but they got it back together. For he's profitable to me for ministry. Can you say, man? I need my partner. He picked first Demas. And Paul was a stickler for picking the right people to stand with him in the gospel. And he picked Demas. And the reason he said, send somebody quickly to me, is because Demas appeared to be a dedicated Christian ready to stand with Paul. But he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. The moment you become a Christian, God calls you out to be separate unto Him. It's called sanctification. You don't hear much about that anymore. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He didn't just forsake Paul. He forsook the faith. Not because he forsook Paul, but because he loved this present world. Who or what you love is going to have your allegiance. Make no mistake about it. That's why the Bible warns Christians, love not the world. We're not talking about the earth. We're not talking about God made the earth, called it good. And when you see the beauty that man hasn't tarnished and sin hasn't tainted, it's a beautiful world. But world he's talking about is the influences of darkness on this fallen world. That world. You've heard of the world of sports, the world of this, the world of that. And this is the world of evil, wicked influences. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world. Listen, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is of the world, the fallen world, and the fallen nature of fallen man. And it's of the world, and the world passes away. It's in flux. It's transient. It's in the process of passing. You say, what in the world is happening? It's passing. Until there's a new heaven and a new earth, this one is already in decay. We're seeing it in the culture. We're seeing it in nature. We're seeing it in every place that you look and every person that is not set apart unto God. The world passes away in the lust thereof. What is the lust? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is of the world, and the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Obedience marks the true believer. It's not so much what we don't do that marks us so much. It's what we, can I say do in church? I don't know if you're supposed to put it together, but I've heard some very intelligent people talk, they don't go together, do they, Mike? He's a math major, and my daughter-in-law is an English major. She would give me an F minus. It's what you do. Do. Amen. It's what you do. It's what you do. It's what you do. You're not saved by works, but works certify and qualify that you're saved. Now, you're not sinlessly perfect, but you need to be and should be, and you will be if you're truly saved. You have a heart to obey God, to give heed to His Word, to walk in obedience before Him. Sometimes you will stumble. And if you do, if you say we have no sin, I'm going to put it in delicate terms like the scriptures do. You lie. You're not disingenuous. You're not just dishonest. You're lying about it. You're lying. If you say I have no sin, I've arrived at a pinnacle of perfection, you're lying and you need to quit it. But if you confess your sin, isn't it something how I can see everybody else's so clearly? Man, if I wanted to put people under a magnifying glass, even worse, a microscope, not just macro, but micro, I could see. I saw a picture of a model in a magazine. They're selling cosmetics. And it was a picture perfect of a model's face. And it looked as smooth as it could possibly ever be. And then it microed, went in and showed every pore of the skin. It looked like craters on the moon. So we can put a lot of cosmetics on and cover up a lot of craters and look good to everyone else. A healthy, holy introspect is not to condemn you. It's not to get you down. It's to keep you lifted up. He told the church of Laodicea, anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you can see. See what? See yourself as God sees you. Not as you think you are or present yourself to be, but as God sees you. Amen. And when you see the need, you know there's a God wanting to meet that need in you. Amen. You think you're righteous as you need to be. God says you're poor, you're miserable, you're blind, and you're naked. You're poor. By the way, materially, this is the richest church in Asia, Laodicea. Spiritually, they were bankrupt. You're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. And then he says, but if you repent, which was his message, and that's why when he knocked on the door, you know, someone comes to the door and it's latched. You had to let me in last week. I think it was last week. Anyway, week before last. One of those weeks. I was back there banging on the door. People were worshiping. I went out and couldn't get back in. So if anybody goes out, you may have to go get them when they come back. And I'm beating on the door. Why in the world would Jesus be not welcome at the church of Laodicea? It's a church. It's the head of the church, the leader of the church. Why weren't they so glad to let Jesus in? Now, we can use this. I believe, okay, to use it out of context, God knocks on the door of every sinner's heart. And that's mainly how this is used. That's why the church is in the shape it's in. We deflect everything that's for us to someone and something else. It's the church of Laodicea, the most materialistic, wealthy church in Asia. Right now, wealth is being used to qualify ministries that are way off biblically, off the rails biblically. But look at the people attending and look at the wealth that is pouring in. God must be blessing it. Go to Laodicea and you'll find out that God doesn't honor how many people following the blind man or how much wealth they're giving to that ministry that's telling them what they want to hear. He's looking directly at the heart. You say, I'm what? Rich. Increased with goods. See the materialism? And have need of nothing. But I say unto you, you're really spiritually impoverished. You're poor. You're in a miserable state. You're blind to that your own need. And you're naked. Is that a fire alarm? Hallelujah. Well, I've never had that happen during a sermon. Praise God. We must be on the right path here today. Amen. Young believers and those of us that have been in the faith for a long time, we still need to understand the place and the purpose of encouragement in the body of Christ. Come out from among them. Come out from among them. Come out from among them. And be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I will receive you. Amen. And you shall be my sons and my daughters. Let me read this. We'll get back on track. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord, not just the Old Testament law. We're under grace in the New Testament. This is the word of the Lord to us. And in his law, in his word, he doth meditate day and night. And he shall be like what? Here's where we get established in the faith, and we're not shaken, we're not compromised. We overcome peer pressure. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. He will be fruitful, in other words. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, this is spiritual prosperity. It can bring physical, material prosperity, but it doesn't start with that stuff. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. What an incentive, amen, not to run with those people. Lose your testimony, compromise your commitment to Christ, and lose the ability of the Holy Spirit to use your life to help them find the right way. Amen. Look at the progression. Let's look at it quickly together. Blessed is the man that walketh. It starts out with walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, if you're going to hear a sermon on Sunday, and Monday you're going to see what Dr. Phil or Oprah has to say about it, if you're going to get in the paper and read someone's column, some journalist's take on something, after you've heard the clear teaching of the Word of God, you're beginning to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That's why Jesus told the church of Laodicea, after he said, "You make me sick, so sick at what I see, that if something doesn't change, I'll spew you," which means to upchuck. It means to vomit. It means so sick that it's coming up out of my mouth. Now, that's something that is very, very critical. This is a church that made Jesus sick, but it's a church that named his name. There's a material message that has come into the church. Listen, I don't preach poverty. God is meeting my needs. I have a home. It's not a mansion. Most people's houses in here or mobile homes or whatever has more living space than where I'm living. My home was built in 1953. It's 1,250 square feet. We added had a garage. We put my son, that has need for our help, lives with us in the garage apartment. Has a bathroom and a little area for him to watch TV, and he uses our sink and our dishes, but he has his own little shower back there. Praise the Lord. Amen. We wash his dishes. We're trying to break him, but we're trying to house break him, but he's going on 51, and I think we're starting a little late to do that. He'll be 51 this month. My youngest son, my oldest son, done graduated to heaven. He would have been 61. Wow. Wow. He's been an old guy. What's that make me? What's that make Sister Venable? Brother Taylor, I'm glad you're here, brother. Because I'm not the oldest guy in the place. Praise the Lord. Listen. Blessed is the man. Blessed in the Greek, in the Hebrew, means happy to be envied. Here's a man that is under the blessing of the Lord. Blessed is the man that walketh not. Now right now he's just walking. Watch the progression here. It's very important. Walketh not in the counsel. First we start listening to not just what God has to say, but what people are saying. Even listen, there's some ungodly, this may come as a shock to you, it shouldn't. Many false prophets will go out into the land, deceive many. Last day sign deception is one of the most powerful and most critical signs of the last day. Satan is a liar. He's a deceiver. The armor is to stand against the wiles, the strategies of deceit. You need to get truth down on the inside of you to where any counsel that contradicts the word of the living God. Heaven is going to pass away. Earth is going to pass away, and all of the great orators and eloquent speakers and all of the educators, all of that is going to pass away. Man is like the grass that comes up, and the sun comes out and scorches it, and the wind just takes the chaff away. The wicked here, the ungodly, are like the chaff blown away by the wind. But the word of God will stand forever. Heaven will pass away as we know it. The earth as we know it is going to be purified with fire for us to come back and inhabit for eternity. It's not going to stand as it is. But my word shall abide forever. There are people sitting in churches today for the entertainment value. There are people in churches today for the materialistic promise that is given them. Amen. There are people following people. Listen, the counsel of the ungodly doesn't just come from what we would consider worldly people. It's coming through worldly preachers and worldly churches. There are churches that are not only not condemning what God says will damn your soul, they're celebrating it. Actually celebrating it today. And all of it is in the name of God, and in particular, in the name of Christ. And you can't celebrate sin in the name of Jesus Christ. So blessed is the man that what? Stands not in the counsel, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You've got to be careful how you hear. Got to, with a heart that is really, really searching for truth. And you've got to... Gotta watch out who you're hearing it from. And you gotta get in the Word of God. You must get in the Bible. There are ungodly ministers. No marvel if Satan himself be transformed as an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. And if an angel comes to you, not just a preacher that seems so spiritual and knows his stuff, but if an angel comes to you with any other gospel, why? Because no other gospel can be preached but that has been preached, built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. Praise God. So if an angel come with an angel come, Not a devil in a red jumpsuit with a pitchfork and horns, but an angel and a minister. His ministers. He infiltrates the true church with ministers. As ministers of what? Of evil and wickedness. No, of righteousness. You can't go by the appearance. You can't go by what you may feel. When that angel opens his mouth, if you know the truth from the scripture, you are not just qualified to judge that angel. You are responsible to judge that angel. Let him be anathema. The strongest condemnation of God possible. Because that person is now a stumbling block to every young believer that doesn't really know the gospel enough to be rooted and grounded in Christ and rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Rooted and built up in Christ. And they're not told what I'm telling you. Their ministers will not define sin. They will not define sin. And they will not call sinners to repentance. And yet Jesus died for our sins. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. When Joel Osteen was asked, I shouldn't name names, but I should name names. When he was asked on a talk show, and I'm not going to pick at every, you know, people pick at this and pick at that, but this is critical. This is critical stuff to salvation. You believe Muslims are going to heaven without believing Christ, trusting Christ, that they can go to heaven? Well, I used to go to India with my dad, and that, of course, Pakistan, this is Hindu religion. Pick your religion now. Just make sure it's not Christianity, because that's an affront to so many people. Everybody else getting a pass, but Christianity is getting it in the neck. Why? Why would the devil bless the other religions and come down on Christianity. Why would he do that? Because there is no other name. No other name. No other name. No other name. Oh, Brother Venable, that's narrow-minded. Listen, I'm cross-eyed and narrow-minded. You can put that on my record. I might put it on my tombstone. Here lies Pastor Venable, cross-eyed and narrow-minded as he was. Amen. I don't want to know anything among you but Jesus and him crucified. It's the only way to get saved. For anybody, can you say, man, hallelujah, and I'm narrow-minded before straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life and few there be that find it. The broad way allows for everybody to go to heaven, but everybody on that way is not on their way to heaven. They're on their way to certain destruction according to the word of God. There is no other name given under heaven unto men for which we must be saved except the name of Jesus. That's why in the book of Acts, it said when they were preaching, a lame man is healed. They're preaching through Christ the resurrection from the dead. What did they tell him? Quit preaching? No. Did they tell him quit talking about God in generic terms? No. Mention God all you want in your sermon, in your doctrine. What did they tell them? Threatened to kill them. Would have killed them if a miracle hadn't occurred and they feared the people. Said they would have killed them, but they feared the people. But they warned them: "You're putting your life. Do not preach or teach anymore in this name." Why? What is it about this name that brought a religious crowd down on the apostles? Because there's no other name. No other name. There's one God, one mediator. This is not just to prove we're right. This is to prove God is true. The word of God is true. We can't circumvent it. We can't find a back door to heaven without it. Hallelujah. You name the name of Jesus. Let everyone that names the name of Jesus depart from iniquity. If you do not, you're an enemy of the cross. Can you say amen according to the word of God? Amen. If you're not going to live it, don't even get involved in it. If you're going to follow me, you deny yourself. You take up your cross and you come and follow me, because there's not 2 ways to heaven, 10 ways to heaven. Amen. There's 1 way to heaven. There's 1 mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if anyone try to climb up, every world religion is man trying to do something to climb up to God. But Christianity is God coming down and seeking fallen man. Hallelujah. Amen. He's the same as a thief and a robber. Who's being robbed? Jesus of his right. Amen. That his blood was shed to save, and only his blood can save. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. That's why they killed the martyrs. That's why they're killing them today. And I don't believe we should. And they are killing people for that reason today around the world. If you're in a Muslim country and you're standing for Jesus, Pakistan, you're standing for Jesus, you're under the gun. And we're coming under the gun. It may not be your life, but it may be your livelihood. It may cost you your job if you carry a Bible around publicly, because that Bible condemns abortion on demand. That Bible condemns homosexuality. That Bible condemns what the world is applauding today. And not only condemns it, it convicts. And there are preachers, and I pray for Joel, because he's already got the audience. He's got the influence. If he could get down in the Word and stand on it, he could reach a whole lot of people for Jesus. So I'm not an enemy, but there's something desperately wrong when someone will not answer that question. Is Jesus the only way to God? Because it's fundamental, foundational to the faith. It involves salvation. Pat Robertson and I disagree on the rapture, but we totally agree on the fact that only Jesus can forgive our sins. It robs Jesus of his right to claim that it's my blood that was shed. Buddha didn't do that. Muhammad didn't do that. Couldn't do that. Their blood was not that innocent. God would never accept it, but he accepted my blood. You're robbing me of my right to be the Savior. This is not about Christians being right, everybody being wrong. This is about whether we go to heaven or hell. This is a narrow road. Few there be that find it. We're not trying to make it wide enough for everybody, because you have to come through the door. You have to come through the gate. And the gate is Jesus. I am the door of the sheepfold. I am the way, not a way. I am the truth, not a truth. I am the life. And no man comes to the Father. See the door? See the gate? No man. No man. No man comes to the Father except by me. This is the greatest day of compromise I've seen in my 50 years of ministry. Never seen it like this. There was a time when there were some things that the Baptist, the Methodist, the Church of Christ, the Episcopalian could agree on. But it's moving away. There's a little Methodist church near us, running a little crowd of people about like us. But there's a big Methodist church downtown, and the Methodist organization is going woke. Woke meaning we're going to accommodate the morals of this world, regardless of what the Bible says. They have meetings to vote. Can you imagine? They call it a holy conclave in some places. And they vote on whether or not we're going to go with the culture, or we're going to change the word and ignore the word. Not best by changing it. That's too blatant. We just ignore it. And we allow the culture to dictate what we preach, what we teach, what we accommodate, or what we celebrate. Everybody's welcome here. Everybody's welcome here too. But if you're living in sin, I hope you're uncomfortable here. I hope we're not here to accommodate that so you can go to hell feeling like you're on your way to heaven. But there are churches that do. So the answer to this critical question of our faith was, well, I've seen a lot of good-hearted people. I really don't know. If you really don't know, get out of the pulpit, because you're going to account. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, I've not shunned to declare unto you, not the parts that are popular, but the whole counsel of God. Therefore, I am pure from the blood of all men. What did he read to inspire him to preach like that? To understand his accountability and responsibility when he stood before people. Cost him his head, by the way. Didn't build a mega church. Didn't have a mansion. Cost him his head. Like this, it cost all of them their life. And yet we are copying, and people dying today for that. For the faith. We have no right to compromise that, to be loved and applauded and acceptable to the world. We are obligated to tell the truth. Ezekiel, son of man. Paul must have read this often. Son of man, I have made you a watchman over Israel to the prophets. I've made you a watchman over Israel. If you see, you know the truth. You see the enemy coming, and you warn my people, and they don't listen. They will be destroyed. But I will not require their blood at your hand. You will not be accountable or responsible for their destruction. But if you see the enemy coming, and you fail to warn my people, and they are destroyed, their blood will I require at your hand. Paul felt it deep in his soul, his responsibility, his accountability, and he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel. See what he's quoting? There, the whole counsel of God. Therefore I'm pure from the blood of all men. Young believers need to hear the truth if it smacks them upside the head. And they don't like it initially, but they need to hear it. They must hear it, because if they don't give heed to it, they're going to get on that broad way thinking it leads to heaven when in fact it leads to hell. And some of the strongest judgment of God in the Bible, figuratively speaking but spiritually true, Jesus said these words, "It would be better that a millstone," these were young seekers seeking truth, and here's the Judaizers telling them to stay away from this Jesus stuff, stay away from this emerging Christian church, this dogmatic church saying you don't have to be circumcised. That time it was a religious thing. Now it's an accommodating religious thing. It's not the Judaizers, it's the compromisers. It would be better that a millstone be hung around his neck. Now, you don't have to have a millstone to pull you under and drown you. But this is how severe he's making a point. Think about it. A millstone, this huge, hung around his neck and cast into the deepest part of the sea, than to be a stumbling block to just one of these little ones. Because that's a soul. This is not little children being abused. This is young seekers of truth, young believers. Better that a millstone be hung around his neck, cast into the deepest part of the sea, than to be a stumbling block to one, just one. That's the value of a soul and where it spends eternity. That's what's on the line. This is not just, oh, I believe this, I believe that, I like this, I don't like that. No, this is what's really on the line. These are not light statements when we say, I don't know. We ought to know. We have to know. We must know. And we must not be bashful or timid about what we know. They had another pastor on Larry King. He said, then ask about preaching on sin. He says, well, my people need lifting up. I never talk about sin. That's just not the way I do it. I just, okay, all right. That's fine. If that's what people are under and stay under. You'd be amazed how many people would rather listen to somebody on television tell them what they want to hear. It's not unusual to the last days. The Spirit speaketh expressly. Amen. That in the last days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. And this is preaching. This is within the Christian community. This is not out, this doctrines of devils and stuff is not out there in the world. These are people in the Christian community. The time will come they will not endure what? What we're preaching right now. Something backed up by the Word of God is called sound doctrine. But they want teaching and preaching. They will heap to themselves, I'm only going to get those tapes, read those books, listen to that man, that woman. Because they're rich and famous and I want to be just like that. That's Laodicea. The values of Laodicea, which match exactly the values of this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, is fulfilled in the materialistic message, i.e. the prosperity message. And God says, listen, this will prosper you right here in Psalms, but it'll prosper you spiritually, and it'll take care of everything else that you need. Not necessarily everything you want. Listen, if you grow spiritually, your needs and your wants will change. I'm happy with my home. I don't compete and compare with nobody. I would like to have a bigger closet. And my wife needs one more than I do. When I say I got an office room and, there's the bedroom, and I dare not put anything in that closet because it's full and it don't have room to my old stuff. It's a 53. They didn't need as much. They didn't want as much. Hallelujah. We need to answer these questions. Another pastor came on there. And I'm not in total agreement with all of his doctrine, but boy, I appreciated his stand. I could stand with him when he stood. He came on there. Larry King, same show. Year or so later. And Larry King said, don't you think that it was awfully arrogant of Jesus to say he was the only way to God? Now see, the world is, they'd rather not think they has to be, get on a way to God, but if you're going to think about it, choose your way, because I don't like that way, and I don't like that way, I don't like that way. Boy, I like this way. I'll go this way. There's only one way. So he looked him in the eye and he said, don't you think it was arrogant of Jesus to say, because see, we're not in league and in line with this acceptability of everybody and everything today. You need to get in, you need to get on this, what is it called when we just accept everything and everybody's welcome? Come as you are. Stay in your sin. It's okay. God loves you anyway. Just come to church and give to the ministry. Tolerance. In the name of tolerance. We don't just tolerate the sin. We tolerate the lie that can send a soul to a devil's hell. In the name of tolerance. There's another way to God. Jesus is a bald-faced liar. We should tear out the New Testament and throw it away. Or we should accept His Word. He's the biggest fraud that ever lived. Or He's the way, the truth, and the life. Every other leader of every world religion is graveyard dead. But Jesus rose from the dead. That's how God confirmed Him. Through many signs and wonders while He ministered, yes. But one sign is going to hold the whole world accountable. Can you say amen? As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, Jesus will be 3 days in the ground, but He's coming out of that ground. And when He came out of that ground, God said, He's certified, He's qualified. Amen. I've accepted His blood as the sacrifice for sin, and there is no other way. And that's why martyrs are dying today. Today, people are dying for that truth, while people are denying that truth. The Bible said they would even deny the Lord that bought them. The redeeming blood of Jesus that bought them, that paid for their salvation. And when we deny Him, and bring upon themselves what? Swift destruction. Well, why are they still standing in pulpits? You know what the destruction is on that? Would you like some instruction on why they stand? Where's the swift? Why doesn't lightning just strike them? Because they are God's judgment on people who don't want and reject truth. False prophets are God's judgment on those people who reject truth, who choose darkness over light. They will heap to themselves teachers because they won't endure sound doctrine, that have itchy ears. Tell me what I want to hear. I'll send you money. I'll support you in every way that I can. They said, we want a king. Said, you got a king. God is your king. God is your Lord. We want a king. We want a king like them. God gave them a king. They got what they wanted, didn't want what they got. You reject God, you get Nebuchadnezzar. You become a slave. False. What is their distinct judgment? The judgment on the people rejecting truth is believing the lie. And the judgment on the liar is that he lies so frequently, he begins to believe his own lie. He believes now, I'm telling the truth. when he knew in his heart it wasn't true. And I say it at the end of our broadcast, don't run deeper into the darkness. Don't run deeper into the darkness. Run to the light. Come to the light. Come to the truth and be set free. Be saved and sealed with the Holy Spirit. And safe from the wrath to come, because brother and sister, it's coming. Amen. So let's finish this Larry King interview. Don't you believe it was prideful of Jesus to declare himself to be the only way to God? And without skipping a beat, he looked Larry in the eye and said, not if it's true. Not if it's true. It would be if he's just like a whole bunch of other people claiming to be the way. But if he is the way, the truth, and the life, it's not arrogant. It's true. That means, Larry, you're going to have to receive Jesus to go to heaven. You can't pick your way. And he needed to know that, because Larry King is gone, and he's gone somewhere. And the somewhere he's gone, he's going to spend forever. He deserved to know the truth that night. Can you say amen? So the judgment on the people is believing the false prophets. That's the judgment on the people. That's why they exist. That's why God allows it. You don't want truth? You can have this. You don't want truth? Get this. Bible. Packing. People. Going to churches that don't line up with the Word of God, because they don't get in the Word of God. They just listen to who is popular. They follow what's trending in the church instead of what's true. But God says, thy blood will be required at your hand, preacher. And it'd be better a millstone be hung around your neck, cast into the midst of the sea. That judgment would be far less than the judgment that's going to come on those who have not told the truth when they knew it. Now the people are deceived, the blind to the truth now who've closed their eyes to it. This is not blindness because they couldn't see, it's blindness because they don't want to see. And God knows it. And they believe the lie they're telling is told so often and frequently. And they back each other up. It's like birds of a feather flocking. They back each other up in the lie. And no one breaks ranks and says, this is wrong, and I'm not going to be part of it any longer. That's what I'm praying for, that some of these people have been running together in that movement will say, no, I'm not going to be part of it anymore. I was tempted by it. I'm so glad that I knew the Lord and I know the scripture. And when sometimes I couldn't quite, I thought, here I am. Who am I? Here I am in this little church in Suffering Springs. That little church was running 100 to 125 at one point. That little church would be a big church to me right now. But who am I? This person's got thousands coming. Who am I? Who am I? And God got a hold of me and said, you are a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ that I have called to preach it, and I want you to preach it. Whether they listen or not is not the deal. What you said you saw, I believe is true. I'm walking among a bunch of people, and they're not paying a bit of attention to what I got to say. They're looking for programs. They're looking for entertainment. They're looking for all kinds of things to do and to feel good, and rejecting truth. I'm going to tell you something. If you come to this ministry, you got to be hungry. You got to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Amen. Because if you're not, if you're hungry for righteousness, you're going to get fed. If you're hungry for righteousness, you're going to get filled. Hallelujah. But if you're not hungry, there ain't nothing to draw you here. Because you're going to just be convicted. And that's not a good feeling. But there are churches in town where you will not be convicted. You'll be convinced you're as right as rain. You don't need to be sanctified. You've been justified. Well, justification is not all there is to it. Let me finish this. Fire alarm slowed us down. Will you give me 5 more minutes for the fire alarm by grace? Listen, this man is walking, right? In the counsel of the ungodly. He's becoming comfortable to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, he's not only walking with them. See, he's affiliated, but he's not really in that clique yet. He walks in the counsel of the ungodly. But now he's becoming more comfortable. Now, he standeth in the way of sinners. He can stand right there with them. He walked with them. He knew, I'm not supposed to be part of this, but in order to be accepted, I'll walk with them. But now they're standing around with all their ungodly speech and talk and life. And where's he standing? Is he standing apart, sanctified? No, he's standing right there with them. He's becoming more comfortable. Let me give you this before we go. Lot was part of the covenant children of God. They passed a city called Sodom. Lust of the eyes. He said, you know, around this city there's agricultural land. There's pastures for sheep. There's pastures for there's land for growing. He said, in fact, Eden before the fall must have looked like this. And that must be one of the richest cities there is. And listen to the compromise, how it begins. So innocent, I'm not of them. I'm of God. I'm a covenant child of God. I'm Abraham's seed. But he saw how rich he could be and pitched his tent toward Sodom. I'm going to settle down. I'm not going to be part of them, but all this money's to be made, and why should the sinners get it all? I won't in on it. Listen, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. He's walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He's getting ready to stand in the way of sinners. He's on his way through compromise. Am I telling you the truth? And it wasn't long as he stood on the outside, affiliating, interacting, that he said, you know, I could make even more if I moved into the city itself. And he moved in for financial gain. And he got it. But the Bible said, being a righteous man by the old covenant, his spirit was vexed. He was troubled. He knew, I'm out of my element. If you're really saved and you're sitting there in some club and some bar, amen, affiliating, you're out of your element. You can still sin, but it won't be near as much fun. Can you say amen? Because you know that you know that you know this is no place for me. I'm a child of God. And I don't belong. I'm not self-righteous, but I am righteous. Can you say amen through the blood of Jesus? His soul was troubled, but he didn't move out, did he? He didn't move out. It took these angels coming and calling him out. It was such a despicable city that males wanted the two angels, these fair men that came, took on the form of men. They wanted to rape them. And he knew, these are righteous men. You can take my daughters and do anything you want to them, but leave them alone. They're holy. What happened to the holy? What happened to the holy? The holy things, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Bible, the Holy Word of God. And the angel said, you don't have to do that. You don't have to defend us. They were warrior angels. They were there on business to get him out before judgment fell. The word sodomy in the dictionary came from the Bible. Sodom and Gomorrah. Angel said, spot these people with blindness. Blindness in the false prophets. Blindness in the people following them. If the blind lead the blind, everyone ends up in the ditch. Everyone ends up in the ditch. I want a preacher that's got 20-20 biblical vision. Can you say, man, I want him to see and I want him to say what he knows to be true. There's no choir that can impress me enough to sit under something that isn't true. There's no program. There's no fun day. Amen. There's nothing, because it's only truth that'll keep us free from deception. Only truth. And did you know what these blind people did? They were so evil and wicked. They groped in the darkness to find the door. They were determined to express that wickedness upon these two angels. And he told Lot, said, Lot, get your family together. Get you out of this city. Because judgment is about to fall on it. We've been sent to execute that judgment, but not until we get you out. It's time to come out. Come out from among them. What? Walking in the council, standing in the way. It's time to come out. Come out. Come out of her, my people. Lest Babylon. Come out of her, my people. The spirit of Babylon is in the world today. It's not just the ecclesiastical or the political or the material. It's a spirit loose in the world that ever since Nimrod, it's been loose in the world. Listen to me carefully. Come out from among them, my people, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That means, listen, you want a relationship with me? You need to be in fellowship with me. Light and darkness cannot walk together, cannot stand together. Truth and ungodly counsel cannot stand together. You got to stand separate from that. Come out from among them, my people, be you separate. That's sanctification. Cleansed and then set apart. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And I'll receive you. And I'll be a father to you. As it is written, I will walk in them, perambulate in the Greek. It's a word that comes from that for the pram, they call it. It's a baby carriage in England. It's called a pram. Because you've got a baby in it, you're pushing it. That means I'll move about freely in them. Holy Spirit will have free flow in those people that set themselves apart unto me. Not people trying to blend with the world because of peer pressure. Let me finish this and then that. Nor sitteth now. He was walking. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know what they're doing right now in the world? Music world, entertainment world, as my son calls it, Hollyweird. They're thumbing their nose at God. They're thumbing their nose at His Word. We will not have this man rule over us. We're self-ruled. We'll have no commandment keep us from doing what we want to do. He was walking. He was standing, and now he's so comfortable in that element, he's sitting. He's part of the city, even though he knows better in his heart. The Bible said, Lot, being a righteous man, he has a covenant with God. But he's out of his element. And the angel says, you've got to get out of here. You've got to come apart. And you've got to depart. Because this city's under the judgment of God. By the way, Babylon has fallen. Well, it's still, that spirit is still here. They're going to rebuild this metropolis of economic wealth. Let me tell you something. Babylon is fallen because God calls the things not as though they were, because as sure as He said it, no matter how they flaunted in His face, it's going to happen. In God's mind, in God's heart, in God's eternal purpose, Babylon is fallen. And what is His message to anyone associated with it? Come out of her, my people, lest what? Lest what? Lest you be a partaker of her plagues. If you're in that city, when the judgment falls, you'll be judged with them that are in the city. So come out! Where's the call? Where's the last time you've been in a church that said, come out to believers, non-believers, everybody, get out of it. You're in danger. It's the message of warning that's missing. Warn my people. If you fail to warn them, they'll be destroyed. You will be accountable. You will be responsible. People are perfectly satisfied to not be sanctified. Perfectly satisfied. I got my free ticket to heaven. I can blend with the world. I can have the best of both worlds. I can live acceptable to this world, take no heat, no persecution for my faith, and go to heaven when I die. Why should I not enjoy to the fullness all of the fruits of this world? All the pleasures of the flesh, lust of the eyes, flesh, and pride of life. So he got his daughters together. He went to his son-in-laws. And he told them, you got to get out of the city. But let me tell you, when you lose your witness by sitting in the seat of the scornful, walking the way of sinners, guess what happens to your witness and your testimony? The Bible said they laughed him to scorn. The seat of the scornful. He's been sitting in it for personal wealth and gain. He's been called out, and thank God he's coming out. It's not too late to come out. You know what church means? Steeples, stained glass, religious stuff. Church is ecclesia in the Greek. Do you know what it means? Called out ones. You're not just called to salvation, you're called out from them who are not saved. You interact with them to be a witness to them, but you do not, never live in compromise with them. Can you say, man, in the name of Jesus, religion, getting them to God or anything else? Be ye not unequally yoked together, believer and unbeliever. For what fellowship hath light and darkness? Christ with Belial. What is Belial? It's the devil. What a motive to come out. And here's the good news. Can we have some good news before we go home? Do we think we need this message? I need it. I want to stay close to God now more than ever. Hallelujah. I love you folks. You're receiving the gospel. I bless you. I'm going to have a blessing service for you. Amen. I'm going to give you the ironic blessing. I'm going to give you the Aaronic blessing. I'm going to give you God's blessing on the covenant of Israel, because you've got a greater covenant. You deserve that one and more to boot. But listen carefully. This call to come out must be preached more than ever, because the pressure to be pushed into the world's mold has never been greater. And there are too many compromising churches today, accommodating the sins that once we were warned and forewarned against. So we need truth now more than ever. Praise God. And we need not put our light under a bushel when we get on a talk show. And we certainly need not put it under a bushel when we stand in a pulpit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What did they put on my tombstone? There's not enough room. so many things I want on it. Robert A. Venable, a preacher of righteousness. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with getting right with God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Noah, the eighth from Adam, who built an ark and got all the animals on it. No, Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Can you say amen? God wanted them people to repent. God wanted them not to be destroyed. They turned a deaf ear. They didn't listen. They laughed him to scorn. You're building a boat on dry ground? Ha, 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 ha. What a nut. But he was preaching the whole time. Preaching the whole time. Preaching the whole time. And listen, he didn't shut the door and say, all right, you bunch of ungodly sinners, you wouldn't listen good enough for you, and slam the door on them. No, he did not do that. Who shut the door to the ark? It said God shut it. God said, you had the word, you heard the word, you wanted the darkness over the light. Now, the judgment that's on the sinful world is coming on you. You could have repented, but you wouldn't have it. Let's get Lot out of Sodom and go home. Lot goes to his son-in-law as if he mocked. They laughed him to scorn. You've been living here. You've been sitting right here with everybody else. You're telling us God's going to judge it. Listen, we made more money last year than we made the year before. And we're going to make even more next year. This is a wealthy city. We don't need no salvation, Savior. We ain't going nowhere. We ain't giving up all of this material stuff to go out there and hide somewhere because some God somewhere is going to do something. He hadn't done nothing in all the history of this city. They stayed. His wife didn't want to go. She reluctantly left. On their way out, they stopped somewhere, and where her heart still was, her face turned toward, and she looked back at Sodom, longing to be there. And God did a miracle of judgment, and Jesus referred it in the new covenant. So don't think this is some old covenant we need to go. We're under grace. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Because looking back is the first step in going back. Lot looked towards Sodom. Pitched his tent towards Sodom. Moved into Sodom. You see the progression? He walked in the way. He stood in the midst. And he sat comfortably where he ought not be. But thank God he was called out. And thank God he came out. Aren't you glad that you were called out? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you came out? If you're not out, you could come out this morning, but you can't straddle the fence anymore. So they're out. They don't know which way to go. The angels are saying, come on, keep going. You're not far enough away. You've got to distance yourself from that. You've got to distance yourself from that. Judgment is coming. You don't want to be part of it. Distance yourself from that. And they said, well, we could go this way. Lot says we could go that way. And you know what the angel told them? Oh, this is shouting ground. You got any shouting shoes on? This is shouting ground. Hallelujah. We've done made up for the time. Listen, hallelujah. Amen. Choose and get going further away. Because I can't do anything. I'm sent to call fire down. But I can't call it down. If you are anywhere near it, no wrath of God is going to touch you. Because you have come out. And you have a covenant with God. Amen. And because you've come out, if you're close to that city, what's going to happen to that city? They had an archaeologist recently. I was Googling something, and archaeologists have found stuff near the city of Sodom and said it looks like the same stuff where an atomic blast has occurred in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Something happened here, and it wasn't a brush fire that caught the city fire, something like the Great Fire of Chicago. There was something here that could not and should not have happened in a non-nuclear age. There was a supernatural judgment that fell on this place. Get up and get away from it, because I can't do anything. I can't do it. I'm going to do it, but I can't do it until you're farther enough away from it that none of it touches you. Oh, 1 Thessalonians said we're not appointed to wrath. I'm getting happy feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm getting happy feet. I'm getting happy feet. You are not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. I'm saved and washed in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked and branded as God's own. Hallelujah. And I'm safe from the wrath to come. That's something to shout about today. That's a good reason to come out and be separate, saith the Lord. All right, let's stand up and give him some praise. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this message? Well, I got happy feet. I don't know what you got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.